Let's have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's blessing upon the message tonight, okay? Dear God, we commit the message to you tonight. We ask you, Lord, just to use it in a special way. Draw us closer to you, we pray. And Lord, just fill me with your spirit. That means control me completely with your spirit. And Lord, again, may we learn from your word. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I discovered one thing really quickly. I'm going to need my glasses. See, there's advantages to being down here on the floor, but it's not as well lit down here on the floor, so I definitely need my glasses when I'm down here. So, have you ever heard someone say this to someone? You know that couple over there? They've been married so long, they're starting to look alike. Have you ever said that yourself, or have you ever noticed that it seems like a couple more? The older they get, they do look more alike. Have you ever heard someone say, you know what, that person's starting to look like their dog? Now, that might be stretching a little bit, but what are we talking about? We're talking about similarities, right? Similarities between maybe someone who's lived with their spouse long enough, they start looking like them, or maybe even a dog occasionally. Tonight, we're continuing in our series. I thought we'd get a lot further along than we did this morning. But I try to just listen to what God wants us to say and preach and how long and all that. And I thought, well, okay, we're going to stop. If I'd have preached the whole message, we probably would have been here till about 3 o'clock. But I felt the Lord said, okay, one point this morning and probably a point or two tonight. We're looking at the story of Noah's Ark, similarities to salvation. Now, I would not normally just out of the blue be picking a story and say, this is like this and this is like that and making all these similarity points if Scripture didn't already do the same. We read it this morning. I'm not going to read it again. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. What it does, Peter relates salvation to the story of Noah and the ark. And I looked some different commentaries and everything to make sure that I was on good ground from guys that are a lot smarter than I am. Warren Wiersbe, he's one of my heroes of the faith. He's with the Lord now. I had a couple classes with him, modular one-week classes when I was in seminary. The B series, like the B encouraged, the B, you know, he's got all this commentary. I have it in a complete set on my computer, have a complete set in a hard copy too. But he said Peter saw in Noah's experience a picture of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And Adrian Rogers, I mentioned this morning as well, he also sees some similarities. He says Noah needed to be saved, so God told him, make yourself an ark. That ark pictures Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be looking at this story. As I said this morning, I hope that from now on, when you look at this story again, you somewhat think of it in terms of the salvation that you and I have experienced through Christ. Now, it's a wonderful story. It's a true story. It's a true account. This actually, literally happened. But when Peter, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, kind of likens it or says there's some similarities between that story and salvation, I thought we would look at it that way as well and find some similarities. Point number one from this morning, the offer of deliverance was limited in time. Can someone hear? You get a gold star for the night if you can tell me. How long did Noah preach righteousness before the flood came? How many years? 120. Boy, several of you get gold stars tonight. Excellent. 120 years according to Genesis 6:3. But after that 120 years, what happened? The floods came. And if they had not put their faith in what God had said, they were destroyed. And no one did. Can you imagine having a ministry of 120 years of preaching righteousness? He was called a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter 2:5. Can you imagine preaching for 120 years and not having one single convert? I tell you what, as I've said before, the Christian life and service to the Lord and ministry for the Lord is to be a marathon, not a sprint. because you don't see instant, quick results typically. Normally, it's you keep ministering, you keep on doing what you know to do is right. But even after 120 years, Noah said, you know what? Not one single solitary soul trusted in God during this time. And I've been preaching. I've been teaching for 120 years. And as I said this morning, I can kind of picture this in my mind's eye. Noah way up on a ladder working on this ark. People gathering around laughing at him. You know, long lost cousin coming up and saying, I heard about you, crazy cousin. You know, I heard what you're doing. You're building an ark. It hasn't even ever rained and you're not near water. So what in the world are you doing this for? Probably calling him a fool and all kind of names. And he's up there preaching. He says, but God told me that there's going to be a flood. And God told me there's a way of escape. It's on the ark. And if you don't listen, you're going to be destroyed. And they'd probably laugh at him even more. And say, you're just Looney Tunes. You're crazy. But he faithfully proclaimed the message that God had given to him for 120 years. But that offer of deliverance was limited in time to 120 years. You know, the offer of salvation is limited in time as well. Now, I'm not talking about, tomorrow it's going to end. I'm not saying that, but in your life it might end. Because our lives are finite. Our lives will end. We looked at Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. God appoints. God knows exactly how long we're going to live. Psalm 90 verse 10 talks about 70 years is basically the general life that we can expect as a general principle. It says if you get 80, you know, basically it's going to be kind of a struggle, but keep hanging in there. We know some that may be a lot older than that, but the point is life will end if the Lord doesn't come back. James 4:14, life is but a vapor that appeareth for a moment, then vanishes away. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, don't put it off. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that have heard the gospel who have put it off, and I'm afraid they're going to put it off too long. The offer of deliverance, the similarity between Noah's Ark, the story, the true account of Noah's Ark, and salvation. For both of them, that offer of deliverance or salvation was limited in time. Tonight, point number two, as we read Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 to 16. I'm going to read those again tonight. Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 to 16, and then we're going to look at the second point or the message tonight. It says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark. Because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort, And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now, as I mentioned this morning, and as I'll continue to emphasize, as we look at the similarities of salvation to the true account of Noah's Ark, if you're lost, I hope you get saved. I hope it paints a wonderful picture in your mind of what salvation is like and what the Lord has done for us. If you're saved, I hope that it encourages us to appreciate what we have in Jesus, the salvation that we have experienced. Similarities. Again, this morning, the offer of deliverance was limited in time. Second, new point for tonight, both entering into the ark and entering into salvation involves coming to the Lord. I'll say that again. Both entering into the ark and entering into salvation involves coming to the Lord. Look at that first verse, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. Now, I realize that this could be translated a little bit different, this word for come, but I think it's interesting that it's translated here, come. It says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You know, I see a difference. God could have said, now Noah and your family, go get in the ark. He could have said that, right? But instead, the way this is translated, and I know there's at least another translation that translates it this way, way also, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Now, to me, come means come to where I am, right? If you say to someone now, hey, come on over here, it's like come to where I am. Now, go means go where I am not, right? So to me, there is some relevance. I don't know if it was intended that way in particular, but I know that when these folks translated the KJV, they said, you know what, we're going to pick the word come. Do you kind of suspect, you know, we preach those stories. Remember the stories that we preach of in the New Testament where the disciples are in a boat, and remember when Jesus is asleep, remember that? And they go and get him because they're scared to death because the big storm comes up and they think they're going to die. Don't you care for us? And he comes out and says, peace, be still, and you know, it's just flat. And we say, now there's a story of God's presence always with us in the ship. You know, I kind of see that here. He didn't say, now you go get on that big old ark out there. You go and you're just going to do your own thing. He said, come into the ark. We also, the story about the Lord's presence when the disciples again are in a ship and Jesus comes walking by. Remember that? And a storm is going on and they think it's a ghost, but it's Jesus. And Jesus comes up and says, it's I. He was almost going to walk by him. And he said, whoa. You know, then he decided, no, I'll stop. They're all upset. He stops. And then Peter says, let me get out. And, you know, we kind of preach that sometimes. You know, the Lord is with us in the midst of our storms. We may not know. Again, I see it here in the story of Noah and the ark. God's presence was with them. And he didn't say, now you go get in the ark. He said, now family, you Noah and your wife and your three sons and their wife, come on, come into the ark. Again, maybe I'm making too much of that point, but to me, it would be comforting to me to hear God say it that way, wouldn't it? Yeah. You know, it's like my presence is there, man. This is going to be traumatic. I know one thing that AIG, Answers in Genesis, the material that we use, they really get upset with little models of Noah's Ark and stuffed animals, and the giraffes are peeking their heads out and everything. And they're like, no, it wasn't. And I agree with him. It wasn't like that. It doesn't upset me as much as, you know, I'm kind of like, well, at least there's some remembrance of Noah and the Ark, even if it is a wrong depiction. But these folks on the Ark, this was traumatic. I mean, you think the storm was bad that the disciples were in when he said, peace be still. Think about it raining for 40 days and 40 nights straight. And imagine a worldwide flood, and it was a worldwide flood that was, I believe it says, you can correct me on this afterwards if I'm wrong, but I believe it said it was 15 foot above every mountain. Just think about the tallest mountains in the world, and at least 15 foot above all of those mountains, and imagine that the earth was breaking up and water was coming up from the base of the earth as well as coming down from the sky. I bet that ark, I bet that was some ride. I like, boy, it's probably a good thing my name was not Noah. I'd probably been seasick. I mean, I know God can take care of all of that, but I know me. I've pretty much given up my days of fishing on any place that's got a lake big enough for it to continuously have waves. I went on Lake Erie one time. I was invited, and the trip was really good, but the actual being out in the boat, and I even took some motion stuff to help my stomach, and it still didn't do it. I this was not good. I didn't upchuck, but I didn't feel good. Believe me, I was thankful we got back to the shore. But can you imagine the turbulence and all the things that were going on to that ark? I'm glad God designed it, aren't you? Or we wouldn't be here today. If some engineer trying to design it, I figure we'd be dead. but he says, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." You know, Jesus says some very similar things in the New Testament when referring to salvation. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 in particular. Let me turn to that. Matthew 11, 28. Notice this verse, very familiar verse. It says, are you ready? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, people that are laboring and they're weary and they're heavy laden with their sin and with their lives. And what's he say? I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest to your soul. And we're going to have eternal rest, if you will, in heaven. I'm not saying we got some big recliner up where we'll sit in the whole time, but I'm saying it's eternal paradise, eternal rest, if you will, in heaven. And Jesus says, "Come unto me." Kind of some similarities there, right? What about Revelation 22:17? The last chapter of the Bible. The last chapter of the Bible. In Revelation, it describes all of the things that's going to happen in the tribulation period and the judgment and the great white throne judgment and all that. And notice how near the very end of the book in verse 17, notice what it says. "And the Spirit and the bride say," what? "Come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." You know, when I got saved, now I know God had a hand in it too. You know, he convicted and all that. You know, some people, you know, well, I found God. Somebody said, no, you didn't find God. God found you. And I understand that. But I'm thankful that when I was saved, I came to Jesus. You know, unless I'm mistaken, that's the way you're saved, by coming to Jesus, right? In faith. John chapter 14 and verse 6. I don't even think I have that verse in, because it's later on. I was going to use it in another point. But, you know, Jesus says very clearly, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way we get to Jesus, the way we get to God is by coming to him. I'm thankful for that. That means that Jesus is part of my salvation. You know what I mean? He's the primary instrument, the primary way that I'm saved is because of what he did on the cross, paying for my sins, right? You know, I think maybe this is a fine distinction, but if it was go in salvation, it would probably be a works-based salvation. You know, rather than Jesus saying, come to me for salvation, it's by grace through faith in me, he'd say, now go. And usually, if that would be the case, it'd be go do something. You know, go do a good work. Go help your neighbor. Go give money. Go get, you know, go do this, that, or the other. But I'm thankful. I'll say one more time. I'm thankful that my salvation involved coming to the Lord. In this story, both those that were entering into the ark were told to come thou and thy house into the ark, and we are told by Jesus to come to him for salvation. I'm thankful about that. How about you? Amen. We'll look at one more tonight, one more similarity. Number three overall, the second one we're looking at tonight. Both entering into the ark and entering into salvation involves a choice. Involves a choice. You know, we've already read verse 1 there, but it says, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Could Noah and his family have refused to get into the ark? I believe I know they'd been building on this thing for 120 years. But even at this point, from the very beginning, they could have said, now, I'm not going to do that. Build for how long? Are you kidding me? Follow these specific directions. That's a lot of work. And believe me, that was a lot of work. If you've been to the Ark Encounter, we've been there once. We'd like to go back again sometime soon. But we've been to the Ark Encounter one time, the Answers in Genesis Ark Encounter, and that thing is pretty impressive. And you're like, wow, look at that. I mean, just from the outside you're looking at it. That was a lot of work. I really believe that Noah, now he did not because he was a righteous man that walked with the Lord, but I believe the possibility was held out that Noah could have said, uh-uh. I believe Noah had the same free choice that you and I have. And I believe he could have said no. His sons could have said no. Their wives could have all refused and said no. But you know, entering into the ark involved a choice. Now they could have done all the work and they made all the preparations. And even at this point said, you know what? I just don't think I want to get in the ark. Sounds like it's going to be a very turbulent time. It sounds like it's going to, I just don't know. Or they could have said, you know what, I don't know if I really believe God's going to do. I mean, it could have been all kind of excuses. But I believe that they made the right choice. But entering into the ark was a choice. You know, Noah from the very beginning, Genesis 6:22, we looked at this, I believe, last week. It says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Chapter 7, we read tonight, verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And verse 7 says, and Noah went in. It could have been written, and Noah chose to go in, or to go in as the Lord commanded him. And it says, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. You see, entering into the ark was a choice. Do you realize that salvation is a choice? Is a choice? You know, I'm convinced that a lot of people do not trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior because of their pride. Because salvation requires humility. You have to recognize what an old rotten sinner you are. And you need to recognize what a great God we have. And you need to recognize that the only way that I'm going to get to heaven is through Jesus. And some people just have too much pride. And they're standing there and like, you know, I'm not going to do that. I got too much pride. I'm not going to let anybody tell me what I need to do. I'm not going to let a God tell me what I need to do. Let me tell you, you need to lose the pride and you need to choose the Lord Jesus in salvation. We had the choice. And as I look around, I imagine everyone here made that choice at some point to say, you know what? I want to be saved. It's a choice. Now, I know God convicts us with His Holy Spirit. Right? I know that God can bring circumstances into your life that makes you look to the Lord. I understand that. But when it gets right down to the ultimate decision, it's a choice that you make. I mean, I believe God has dealt in conviction with a lot of people, brought a lot of circumstances into their life, and they look to God and say, well, I got a bunch of problems down here. But when it actually comes to choosing salvation, they say, mm-mm, not going to do that. Both entering into the ark and entering into salvation involves a choice. And that choice is open to everyone. You know, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I hope you never get tired of hearing these verses. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 said that if, do you see that word? That if thou shalt confess. If. That to me is related to the idea of choice, right? Let me tell you, God is a big enough God. He could have forced us to be saved. And extreme Calvinists believe that there's such a thing as irresistible grace. If you hear someone talking about irresistible grace, your antennas ought to go sky high and say, huh? Say that again? The Bible does not talk about irresistible grace. Irresistible grace of Calvinism says, well, that grace of God comes upon you and you can't help it but be saved. I don't know about you. I just do not believe that's biblical. I believe God shows us His grace, but He still gives us the choice. They're saying that God will make you be saved. I'm saying God gives us the choice to be saved. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if, implying choice, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the choice is for anyone to make. Romans 10:13. Short, but a very powerful verse. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That whosoever, to me, tells me that our salvation involves a choice that we make to trust Jesus as our Savior, to believe in our heart that He's the Son of God that came to this earth and paid for my sins on the cross and resurrected back to life. It's a choice for me to go before that God and say, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. It's a choice when we say, Lord, I confess Jesus as my Savior. I don't know, it seems to me that a lot of Christians, they may say it with their mouth that they confess Jesus, but they're not living their life like Jesus is their Savior. But the point is, it's a choice. similarities between Noah's Ark and the story, the true account there, and salvation. Tonight, the two we looked at in particular, both entering into the ark and entering into salvation, involves coming to the Lord. And the one we just looked at, both entering into the ark and entering into salvation involves a choice that we make. And under the idea of choice, you know, this morning I chose to clean up. Aren't you glad about that? You know, I hate it when my aroma arrives before I do. But I made the choice to clean up. I made the choice to wear my blue suit and come to church. In order to be saved, you must choose to be saved. You know, I wish that I could make someone get saved sometimes. I mean, really, I would. I've known some people, and I know some people that have been around our church some, and I can think, I know that they're lost, and they'll tell you, I'm lost. But you can't get them to be saved. I wish I could make them. But it's a choice that God has given to them, and they must make that choice. I cannot make the choice for you. Your spouse cannot make the choice for you. A parent cannot make the choice for you. It must be a personal, individual choice. Just like Noah and his three sons and all their wives made the choice to get on the ark, it's a choice to trust Jesus as your Savior. So, tonight, I hope that you're thankful that you came to Jesus in salvation. I'm thankful that it's not a work or a certain series of works. As I've said before, if it was a matter of working your way to heaven, I'd be a nervous wreck. I mean, really, I would. I'd be like, man, I wonder if I did enough. I'd probably wake up in the middle of the night thinking, I'm not sure if I did enough today. I better go find something good to do and do something good. You know, I'd be a nervous wreck, but I'm not saved by works. He didn't say, go and do. He said, come to me. And I'm thankful that I had the opportunity and the choice to make to trust Jesus as my Savior. Hopefully, if you're a Christian, you can say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I was able to come to the Lord. That's where salvation is. I was able to come to Him and trust Him as my Savior. And I'm thankful that I made that choice. Now, some of you made the choice early. Some of you made the choice a bit later. But you made the choice. But should there be anybody here that still has a question mark in your brain, like, I'm not really not sure I'm saved, or someone could be tuned into our live stream tonight, or someone could be listening somewhere down the road to our audio copy of the sermon, and you're listening to this and you're saying, you know what, I'm just not sure I'm saved. I'm really not sure if I'm on my way to heaven. Can I encourage you to come to Jesus in salvation? He's the only way. I don't care who it is. I don't care how good looking or charismatic they might be. If they tell you there's some other way to heaven, let me tell you, they are wrong and they are liars and they're not telling you the truth. The only way to be saved is by coming to Jesus. So I'd encourage you, if you're listening in at any time and you say, I don't know I'm saved. Or you may say, I know I'm not saved. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Secondly, I'd encourage you, make your choice to be saved. Choose. Make up your mind. Make up your heart and say, you know what? I choose to be saved. I come to you, Lord. I admit that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. And mean that from your heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus is exactly who the Bible says that He is. The Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross, and resurrected back to life for me and paid for my sin debt. I believe all that. Say that to the Lord in prayer and mean it. Say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I believe Jesus who the Bible says He was, and I confess Jesus as my Savior right now. If you mean that from your heart, you just change your eternal destiny when you pray that prayer. I'd encourage you to do that. I'd encourage you to call out to the Lord. Come to Jesus, choose to be saved, and pray to Him even. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this wonderful, true account of Noah and the ark, and Lord, how you saved these eight people. And Lord, we thank you between the similarities of that story and salvation coming to Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to appreciate our salvation even more and appreciate this story in the Old Testament. Even appreciate that story and see it even in a more full, rich way than we ever have. And Lord, I do pray that if there's anyone under the sound of my voice who has never come to Jesus for salvation and made the choice to trust Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they'll do that very thing right now. Just work in their hearts and lives. And Lord, as we sing a song, I pray, Lord, a song of invitation, I pray that everybody here knows that the altar's open. And Lord, whatever the need might be, I pray that they'll feel free, if you're speaking to their heart, to come to the altar. Perhaps to pray for a lost loved one, to perhaps maybe pray that someone will come to Jesus in their family. Maybe pray that someone will make the choice to be saved even tonight. Lord, again, the altar is open. I pray that you'll bless in our invitation time in Jesus' name.